Dogs not being able to stay home alone are really, really common in our households. It's becoming more and more of a problem, and very often we start with training and it doesn't work because we forgot to do the prep work. In this episode of A Dog Soul, An Empath's Guide to Your Dog's Feelings, you will meet Dottie, a little spitz, and her story is something I see really often when the problem we see is not the actual issue. So stay tuned and have fun. Alright, so the problem we saw with Dottie was that she could not stay home alone. It was not the only thing, though. She would pull on leash, she would go crazy whenever she saw another dog, she would bark at her owners in the evening. She would not eat well, so sometimes she would not eat at all, except for treats, but not her regular food. And she was a 1-year-old Spitz, so a very young dog, and usually young dogs are not that uninterested in food, right? If you compare it with a senior dog, they sometimes have their health issues and less appetite, and sometimes it's tricky to get them to eat anything, but with young dogs, that's not that typical. So, this is something that we have to take seriously. Even though she was not very thin, she was a little bit on the slim side, but not too serious yet. But if we see a dog really avoiding the food and she was not happy with going to the food bowl and eat, sometimes this is a fear issue that comes from previous life, and Dottie had a few owners, so we don't really know what was her previous life. But if you have dogs who lived in a kennel and only got food thrown to the floor, then the dogs might only be comfortable eating from a concrete surface and not very happy with a bowl, any kind of bowl. But that was not very likely for her. She did eat at the shelter her current parents got her from, but also not very eagerly. So, this was definitely something that we wanted to get checked out by the vet. Now, all of these things could also be related to not being able to be home alone, but having to stay home alone. That creates such a high stress level that the dogs very often show other behavior issues like pulling on leash or barking at other dogs and things like that. And even upset stomachs, right? Because, like with us, stress and the stomach are really connected. So it could have been because of that. But there was another thing. When I got there for the first appointment, and usually separation anxiety is very trainable online and it works better online because you can get accurate data. Because having guests over, even if it's a dog trainer, is exciting, right? And so if you try to assess where they stand right now, it's not really useful to do that while guests are over. You want real data, and you only get that real data if you rehearse a real situation, all right? But what we did find out was that she was completely fine with a stranger in her home, even if her parents left. So that would open doors for sitters and family members to take care of her when her owners could not stay home with her, which is awesome, right? We need to have management in place when we try to work on separation anxiety. But what we saw during this first appointment was that she could not settle on her own for 2 hours. We talked for 2 hours and she could not settle at all. We did implement a high reward frequency pretty quickly because she was humping nonstop and nibbling on me, and I was really bruised after that. So she did not do that gently. She was so stressed that she could not really hold back a lot. So she did bite down pretty hard and it left bruises. So, of course, we cannot just let her do that. So with a high frequency reward, I'm rewarding more calm behaviors like sitting down and lying down and lying on the hip and things like that. We got her to at least settle as long as we kept the high reward frequency up, which is not that uncommon when I get to people for the first appointment. And the reason is that she did not only have the obvious problem of separation anxiety, but a very high stress level. And usually people wait too long to start working on that with their dogs because it's not that obvious. The connection is not that easy to see. So if you see your dog doing things like barking, lunging, nibbling at guests, not being able to settle down, following you around all the time, barking at you, especially in the evening, getting zoomies in the evening, all those things, start reducing stress. It's so important. And for Dottie, she could really, you could see in her eyes that she was out of her mind. She was absolutely going crazy. She was completely deprived of sleep. Not completely, that was a little exaggeration, but you could see that she was sleeping not enough and that she was just over the top. And that is not a comfortable feeling, right? If you're completely stressed, it is so uncomfortable. So it was no surprise that whenever I got the videos from her parents leaving, that she would already get into stress mode when they started to take their jackets and their shoes and keys and purses and everything they wanted to take with them. You could see in Dottie's face that she had stress lines around her mouth and under her eyes and on her forehead. She had a very stiff body language. Her tail was very high. I mean, she's a Spitz, so this is not uncommon, but even in a Spitz, you can see if the tail is carried higher or lower than usual. So she was getting excited. But when she realized that her parents did not take her harness and get her dress as well, she started running back and forth. Her tail went down. The face stayed pretty much the same, but her eyes got bigger and you could see the white. And as soon as they stepped out the door and they had to shove her back in, because she tried to get out there as well, as fast as she can be, she started whining. She started whining and then barking. And that was when her parents interrupted that try and got back in. So as soon as the door clicked, she started this. And they told me that previously she had destroyed stuff as well, so she would probably have displayed even more stress behaviors than just the whining and barking, but that was bad enough, right? And the fact that she started this so early was proof that she could not stand being without her parents. So having those videos is really, really important. So whenever you want to start working with your dog on alone time, definitely get those videos and watch them, maybe even in slow motion. Slow them down a little bit so you can really see what your dog's displaying. That gives you a starting point and it gives you something to compare your new videos with after you start training, because progress can be very small, right? And we want to see what changes the dog makes, right? So what does she show us? Is there a little bit more relaxation? Are the eyes not that huge? Are the lines not that deep? Everything we can see that changes helps us to know if we're going in the right direction. So what did we do? We did not immediately start home alone training because Dottie was just not in the right mindset for it, if you will, because she was so stressed. And you cannot start working on something that is really stressful for the dog with a dog that is already completely out of his mind. So what we did was we implemented more sleep and rest. Dottie was getting a lot of enrichment from her parents, which is awesome and she loved it, but it was keeping her a little bit too much from sleep and rest. So she was practically kept occupied all day long and she followed her parents around, so she would not settle down. And we helped her with relaxation, especially with things she could do alone, so licking things, chewing things. She liked both, so that was great, and she could relax with both. Usually, dogs sometimes relax more with chewing, sometimes they relax more with licking. If you don't know yet, try it out. And see if your dog starts to get comfortable whenever you give something to him and get heavy eyelids. So the eyes get smaller and more relaxed and it looks a little bit like nibbling into sleep. That is what we want to see. And for Dottie, it worked with both, which is awesome. We also took out stress from everywhere we could. That included no more training, because training involved almost always intimidation, pressure, and corrections. Her parents tried to work on her reactivity and her loose leash walking with body blocking her and with snapping her out of it with corrections and with stepping in front of her, facing toward her, which is intimidating, right? And all these things would not work because she was in a too high stress level. And what we want when we teach our dogs to be comfortable while home alone, we want them to feel safe in their day-to-day life. And if they are constantly expecting anything intimidating or scary from their owners, their caregivers, their parents, they cannot really relax. And we need real relaxation. So that was something we changed. And we shortened the walks and moved them to a relaxed, quiet area with a long line without fetch. They played fetch a lot, but they forgot to help her into relaxation after the game, which is really very common. So I don't blame them. They did everything they could. They were really eager and that is awesome, but it didn't help her. So we switched to fetch for sniffing games. We included walks without any activity, so she could just start sniffing and take in the environment at a slow pace, and also have some off-leash time in fenced-in areas. And then we switched the food from kibble to cooked food with less protein and omega-3 fatty acids. That also helps some dogs relax a little bit more. And at home, she got solo entertainment, enrichment to stuffed Kongs and boxes and all these great things that her parents were already doing. So that was awesome. She already knew that and she liked it. That was great. And of course, since the eating was an issue, we had her checked out, and also for the stress level, because sometimes the high stress level comes from hormonal imbalances and things like that. So, or even stomach issue or whatever, there can be a gazillion reasons, I guess. So that was why we had her checked out, but she was fine. So there was really no reason for worrying about that. And with all of these changes, within the first 2 weeks, the barking stopped, the sleep doubled, and she stopped pulling completely. There was no more lunging and barking at other dogs. There was no more pulling, and without training. So you see how powerful stress reduction is. And you can see in her face that she was much more relaxed. She could let her tongue loll, she could settle down during the day and really have a relaxed face. No more worry lines, no more whale eyes where you can see the white and all those things. So we introduced very easy alone time in week 2. So first, just her parents walking into another room while she was busy with Kongs and stuff. So she could get the idea that she could be fine on her own. And then we did the same thing without the Kongs. And she liked to follow her parents around. So sometimes she did, sometimes she didn't. But since she was a lot more relaxed, we started working on the front door. So we got to the point where she could be alone with the front door closed for 2 seconds, and that was a good starting point for separation anxiety training, right? And that was not all we saw. Her fur looked way more healthy. It was more shiny, it was softer, and this could also be because of the food change we made. And this is not a food she could eat forever, right? Because it was just cooked meat and cooked potatoes. That's not enough for a dog. So it's just to get the digestive system settled down. And then we will introduce a whole food diet again. But that the fur looks better could also be because she's less stressed. And seeing that dog really being able to settle down, and you could feel that she was just more calm, was awesome. Because again, at the first appointment, she would have probably chewed through my skin. So not having that anymore, and just a dog who would get excited, yes. I mean, she's a young dog, she can get excited, right? But being able to settle down again on her own, that was awesome. She could also enjoy the environment on walks. So she stopped chasing birds all the time without any training. We did not do any anti-predation anything. She just stopped because it was a stress thing. And this is really common, right? So she started sniffing a lot more. She stopped barking and lunging at other dogs without training. She slept through the night. And sometimes she even decided not to follow her parents around and took a nap, which is awesome. I mean, if a dog can occupy him or herself with a conch while the people are walking around, that is awesome. It's the first step to more relaxation and more sleep time. But being able to decide that a nap is a better idea than to follow is really, really awesome. So she learned to regulate herself. She learned to calm down. She learned that her bed is some place she can relax whenever she wants to. We did help her a little bit with connecting all the relaxation things we did with one bed and introduced essential oils. I think for her it is vanilla. She likes vanilla best. It's always depending on the dog, right? And still, this is very quick progress she's making. So what we can take away from that is that relaxation and stress reduction should be the first thing we do whenever we see behavior issues in our dogs. It can never harm to do some stress reduction. And stress reduction can also mean going to an area that is fenced in, like a sniff spot, and letting your dog just be a dog. Our dogs are so confined and so restricted in our human world that very often they just get stressed because they cannot be a dog. They cannot do doggy things like digging and running around and marking and looking for stuff and sniffing and all those amazing things. Even if we are trying our absolute human best with providing these things for our dogs, sometimes they just need to do it on their own. And with that, I wish you a lot of fun watching your dog just be a dog. And we'll see each other next time. Bye!